Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
People that came and went. I think our numbers list goes into the hundreds.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening and for just being the mother effing best. And we have an update for you. If you were listening to Deadly Diocese last season, we are continuing season 2 on Patreon. Here's the thing. Investigating Father Joe's case has been nothing short of captivating and, well, shocking. And Greg and I are back with a new season of Deadly Diocese, and what we've discovered is more distressing and appalling than we could have ever imagined. As you might remember from season 1 if you listened to it, when Father Joe was found dead, many things had been tampered with before police even arrived, including his computer mysteriously going missing. Trails of breadcrumbs and communion wafers led us into uncovering clues encrypted in Father Joe's computer that, to our surprise, was still active long after his death. In season 2, the search for the truth will take us overseas to European dioceses, where his computer was tracked and where the Catholic Church has held secrets kept for over 1,000 years. We have never before seen footage, security tapes, new groundbreaking interviews, and new evidence we want to share with you.
So we're putting everything up on Patreon so we can, you know, kind of cultivate this community of citizen sleuths and have a one-stop shop for all of the evidence in a place where we can collaborate. You know, you guys can reach out to us directly. There's a chat room. You can message us. You know, while we were doing season 1 of Deadly Diocese, so many kind of mentions came through, like the comments on Apple Podcasts, but we can't.
Yeah, like we don't know how to
reach out.
Yeah, we don't know how to reach out to you.
And so many other big breakthroughs came from listeners telling their dad, who happened to be a cop, who knew Father Joe, and so many cool connections. And so we just really wanted to foster this community and kind of take control of this investigation independently and
get justice for Father Joe. We have committed to sue his sister. We can't say this enough. Like Joe Sr., his dad, Sue said to me just on the phone yesterday that her dad is hanging on
to have this solved.
Yeah.
His main drive for staying alive.
Yeah. And it's something we're extremely committed to. And we want to get justice for him. And the other reason for Patreon is a lot of this stuff is visual. Like maybe there's something, like I was re-looking at the evidence photos or crime scene photos, sorry. And I was like, I never noticed. There's certain things I never noticed before.
Every time we open these binders back up, we notice something new.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, like a new set of eyes or several sets of eyes, like citizen sleuths, like you guys, like that is how Michelle McNamara helped to solve the Golden State Killer case. Like, citizen sleuths.
It's true.
They are important.
Hey, I mean, I think it was Mark Twain who said this, like, Einstein and a janitor is better than just Einstein.
Wait, say that again?
Yeah, well, just, you know, two minds are better than one, no matter the minds. You know, like, you can have the smartest person in the world if you just give them another brain to help work.
I love that. Einstein and a janitor, is that what you said?
Yeah, is better than just Einstein.
Oh, I see. Okay, I get it now. Wait, that's kind of a cool quote. I like that.
I'm saying it's Mark Twain. It might not be. That might not even make sense. Einstein could have came after Twain. I don't even know. Someone
You've
said
heard
that.
You heard it here first.
It's a real quote from Greg Hunter.
So if you guys are interested in following the investigation on Father Joe and Deadly Diocese, go to patreon.com/deadlypodcast and subscribe for season 2 now.
Can't wait to see you there.
Party on. All right. Back to Father Yode. Well, he's about to become Father Yode.
Exactly.
When we left last episode, he was still Jim Baker. Jim Baker, the man with just one wife. The man that people were seeing as a guru.
Who could have lived and died as a legendary, successful entrepreneur, restaurateur, you know, but he... This is where it all starts to unravel.
It's where power... what is that quote?
Like absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah. He got a taste of it. This is part 3, the final part, on Jim Baker and the Source family cult. The long and magical and harmful journey that ends in an extraordinary demise. Last week, we ended on him marrying his next wife, one of the earliest converts, 19-year-old Robin Popper. And Robin became his biggest supporter and almost served as a recruit for him and made people believe that he was the true father. And so a cult formed around him. So now I have finally, well, we watched it together, the full documentary on the Source family. And there's differing accounts of how the cult sort of formed, if that makes sense. In other research and other articles I've read, it seems like it was more of a recruitment process. It feels like in the documentary, it was like people just came to him.
It seems very organic from how the documentary presented it. I think it's probably very different for different people. Some people were probably like very much recruited in a cult tactic type of way. But I think at the beginning, you know, it was just the perfect storm. The perfect recipe for a commune cult group to start. You know, they had their leader. They already had a headquarters with the Source. They were already living counterculture lifestyles. And a lot of the initial cult members, I think, were very much yearning and searching for a spiritual awakening. That was just naturally what was happening in their lives. And so, you know, I do believe Robin and Jim Baker capitalized on this. You know, what was naturally going on around the Source restaurant, I think, just catapulted them into cultdom.
Yeah. I think you're correct on that. I think it's a sign of the times. I think it was a lot of people, including Jim Baker himself, were missing sort of, in a lot of the stories, at least you hear in the documentary, like father figures. And then they saw him as a father figure. Because it was a time coming off the war. And, you know, I mean, I know this even just from my own... my dad's real dad or whatever, that men behaved differently, you know, certain during that time. Like they weren't, a lot of them weren't like nurturing fathers, if that makes sense.
Gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that a lot of people, and I think a lot of youth too, were very confused and very like seeking, you know, other things.
Yeah, I mean, it was the 60s into the 70s. You know, yeah. We all know about this time, and the time was right. But apart from even the timing and the culture of the whole country, that's also like what's happening on the Sunset Strip, especially at the Source restaurant.
You know, prime location,
they were
too.
Being empowered by the highest of artists.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think when... You know, 5 years prior to this, I don't think Jim would have maybe pictured himself becoming a cult leader, but it kind of, you know, everything moved in that direction. And then I think he was absolutely willing and happy to be be the guy to take on that role. But it did seem like Robin and Jim knew what they were doing. And were engineering this cult from the ground up. I mean, they set out to start a religion. They wrote a Ten Commandments.
Yeah, they like we talked about last week. They picked and chose. I mean, it was basically like they did a PowerPoint presentation. Like they you know, probably sat down together and they were, you know, but she admits to it. She said that we picked and chose different things from different leaders, like, you know, Yogi Bhajan, Manly P. Hall.
They went on like the guru tour of 1969 and then came back and they were like, what are the best teachings?
Which is frankly smart, but.
Well, and then what else was smart was like, they let it subtly kind of evolve out of meditation classes, which is how welcoming and friendly and inviting and easy is that to go to attend when what was already happening at the Source restaurant at the time. It's like, oh, a meditation class? Cool. Of course I'm going to check that out. It's not as frightening. It's not as like, I'm going to go to some communal living place, you know, out in the hills and like dance around kumbaya around a fire. That's way different than just like, oh, I love this restaurant. Oh, they're doing meditation now?
Yeah. See, the restaurant cultivated, it was like, basically, think about it. There was, you know, like beautiful young women working there, like, you know, like talking amongst, you know, and then there's like, you know, guys like coming in, like seeking something and women coming in seeking. And even the way Isis Aquarian becomes one of Father Yod's wives or whatever. Isis Aquarian is the documentarian, one of his wives. Like, she's the one that all these insane, beautiful photos and video exist, which we're going to post to our Instagram. But I encourage you to even just go look them up. I mean, they're some of the coolest photos I've ever seen, but she is why they exist. And Isis was dating a rock and roll photographer. Like, big time. Like,
he was doing Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he needed Jesus-looking types for... Was it for Jesus Christ Superstar? Because I know that the album was slightly based on that, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the one. But regardless, he needed Jesus-looking types for some shoot he was doing. And so she went down to the Source restaurant and, you know, she said there was a bunch of good-looking guys that just had long hair and beards or whatever. She meets Father Yod.
It's like a casting call for Jesus.
Yeah.
Extras at the Source restaurant.
So she meets him, and the first thing he does is hug her and basically says, you're home. And she said she changed her life within a day, two days, or whatever.
Just instantaneous.
It was just like... I do believe he was magnetic in a certain way, but I think the whole scenario was very magnetic. So you go to this restaurant at prime location, La Cienega and Sunset, basically. You got young, beautiful people working there and you're searching, you know, everyone's, you know, searching. And
John Lennon's eating there.
Yeah.
All these celebrities are eating there. You can trust it, right? Everybody thinks it's cool.
Yeah. But they started to have like an actual initiation system. So that's where like this, it's sort of in different sources. Like in the documentary, it seems like it just sort of evolved. And then other things I've read, it's like people would inquire. They'd be like, why do you guys seem so peaceful? And like, what's going on here? Like, this seems like a great life. And Father Yod at that point, and maybe by way of Robin as well, had started an actual initiation process. So if someone asked like, hey, what's going on here? This is great. They would then have to attend three meditation sessions. So after being invited to the three meditation sessions, he would then ask them a question in front of the group saying, why do you want to be here? Why, you know, putting them on the spot, basically. And they needed to essentially convince him and everyone around that they were absolutely devoted to him. So this is when he has really gone into cult leader status. So they need to say in front of people, I'm completely devoted. The next step is giving up all their worldly possessions. And a lot of people did it. Lickety-split, just like Isis Aquarian did.
When I hit L.A., I ended up hanging out in this household where Rob Reiner and Richard Dreyfuss lived in Laurel Canyon. And I met this very famous rock photographer, Ron Raffelli. And that was the start of a 3-year love affair that was very intense. We were engaged and we were going to get married and have kids. Ron and I were casting for a photo shoot. And he said, I need Jesus, lots of Jesuses. I drove down to the source and there's all these great looking men in white robes with their long hair. And I said, is Jim Baker here? So out comes this man. And I just looked at him and I just went, oh my God. And he just gave me a big hug. He just said, welcome, welcome home. What I just saw held more for me than anything that I had, and Ron would not come with me.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
So yeah, they're required to hand over everything they own, but they were rewarded with a beautiful home.
Yeah, this is like the big transition from meditation classes at a cool, hip, all vegetarian restaurant to they're a cult.
Yeah.
Is where, you know, he starts to get followers and these people who are committed to him. And like one of the stories from the documentary is about a guy who, you know, goes up into his little shrine in the attic and kisses his feet.
Yeah, and this guy was in Harvard.
I know. That's, you know, something that should be said about all of these followers is that, like, a lot of them are intelligent, you know, capable people, which is why I believe that, like, the beginnings of the Source family was something that was authentic and earnest. And that's why these professionals like Isis, who's a photographer, and this Magnus, who was, you know, went to Harvard. I think they all believed it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think at first they were really trying to dupe anybody. I think even Jim and Robin, to a degree, believed that like something holy and divine was happening. And so I do believe in the very beginning, they were all searching for something that was truly spiritually enriching, and they weren't trying to take advantage of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They were just trying to live in harmony. And a sign of that for me is the story that we started to tell with this Harvard grad. You know, he goes out to LA, he ends up at the Source, he goes up to the attic, he sees Father Yod, And kind of out of not knowing what to do, he kisses his feet. And Father Yod says, "Far fucking out." Like, something about that's just, to me, when I heard this, like, this is honest. This is like he's not being a guru yet. He's becoming the guru, but he's like still Jim Baker. And I think that there's something there that's like very rock and roll, 70s, hippie, you know, like I said, that it is honest.
You know, what's funny is in the documentary, one of the women interviewed said that when she went to the Source restaurant, she was a friend of his. He had a photo of Yogi Bhajan above the fireplace, you know, mantle, whatever there. And she said to him, "Why don't you have a photo of yourself above there?" And he was like, "I would never do that." 6 months later, he had a photo of himself up there. It's like his power, like he got a taste of it and it escalated so quickly.
And that's how these things always go. You know, like I think he might have been telling the truth right when the Source opened. He didn't think of himself like that yet. He was into Yogi Bhajan. He was into the gurus. He was into the spirituality, but he didn't think of himself like that. But then you're right. You just get a couple people, a couple young girls, all wearing white, looking at you like you are the Heavenly Father, and boom, something flips in his own mind, and he can't pull himself out of it. He, you know, thinks he is a divine receiver, and that's when, you know, it starts to change from a cool happening, a cool community vibe, a band with groupies and followers.
Yeah, and it quickly turns into having several Rolls Royces in your garage. I say that because Yogi Bhajan, who was supposed to be the guru that was supposed to make everyone so calm, it inspired Jim Baker, Father Yod, apparently had a mansion in Cheviot Hills and several Rolls Royces in his garage.
You can't be a real guru unless you're driving a Rolls Royce.
Well, Rajneeshi did too.
Yeah, exactly.
And then eventually Jim Baker, Father Yod did too. Like, it's all a scam.
Hey, God likes Rolls Royces. So, you know, if he's actually talking to you, you should be driving a Rolls Royce.
You should go into advertising and there should be a commercial saying this is God's vehicle. This is what you need.
We've heard of this is God's country, but
yeah,
this is God's ride.
Yeah. It's all so ridiculous. And it gets more ridiculous because he eventually moves all of his followers into a sprawling Los Feliz mansion. It's a Georgian-style mansion that was previously owned by the people that started the LA Times, amongst other things. Harry Chandler. It was built in 1914. I mean, this place is magnificent, has a ton of history. This place has 24 rooms, including 8 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, a 2-story entrance hall, a library, a solarium, a butler's pantry, a pool, a detached 4-car garage, and a 1-bedroom guest house. I mean, it's a mansion, 9,000 square feet.
That's an estate.
Yeah, it's a huge mansion.
Perfect cult compound.
Yeah, and they lived. I can also see if you wanted to, you know, be enlightened, and you know, you go to the Source, and then they're like, "Hey, if you just go to 3 meditations and agree to my rules,
you get free writ.
This beautiful house. Granted, another 140 people are going to live there with you, but it was apparently magical. Like, it was like sunny days and white dresses, people half naked, people making out. Like,
I mean, at first, I think, like, okay, so, you know, this is the big transition from meditation classes to cult compound. And, you know, Jim Baker gets this brilliant idea that, like, wait a minute, all these people are coming, you know, every Sunday to listen to me speak. And they're all hanging out at the Source restaurant until, you know, the middle of the night. And then they're going back to these apartments where they're paying rent, not to me. Like, well, let's cut out the middleman here. You guys don't need to pay rent. We'll just pool all of our rent together. It'd be one thing if Jim Baker was just like so loaded because the Source was working out well, which it was, and he was going to like pay for this himself. But oh no,
you also have to give up.
All of the members were like compiling their rent money, and then of course, like every cult protocol goes, you got to work for the family, and all your wages go back to the cult.
Yeah, you don't get paid. It took dozens of employees to run the Source restaurant, like dozens of followers to run the Source restaurant a day. And the Source was making $10,000 a day. But upon moving into this beautiful mansion, they were given a new set of commandments. And this is 1972, and this is also when Father Yod became Father Yod, and he gave his followers a set of guidelines, more like rules, commandments of sorts. This is how they went. Number one, obey and live by the teachings of your earthly spiritual father. Two, love your earthly spiritual father more than yourself, which is very problematic. Three, harm not one of your body parts, either by neglect, food, drink, or knife. Four, allow each vibration to complete its own cycle without interference.
What does that even mean? I mean, like, that could literally, like, let each vibration complete its cycle. I feel like anyone could get in trouble for any reason. They're like, oh, you didn't let the vibration complete, or the frequency complete its cycle. I don't know what that's referring to.
I mean, it just sounds like you could be in trouble at any time.
It's a pretty overreaching commandment there.
Yeah, I think most of them are. They're... And I don't know that he really follows them necessarily.
Well, because, give me another one.
Well, I'm going to reread the one prior, because as we discussed last episode, it says, harm not one of your body parts, either by neglect, food, drink, or knife. He became kind of an addict when he was dating or married to Dora. And now when they're in the mother house, there is a, I wouldn't say demanded, but it seems like it, toke in the morning.
Yeah, that's part of their morning ritual.
Yeah, so
everyone has to wake up, and their first breath has to be like saying Father Yod's name, and then their second breath is essentially a 6 second long bong rip.
Is it a bong? Say, I don't smoke the weed, so I don't. Well, I don't know. Is it a bong rip that they're doing?
It's in the documentary. They're definitely smoking like a bubbler pipe, which is kind of like just a small bong.
So is 6 seconds like a long time?
That is an enormous rip. I mean, that is like, you are guaranteed to get stoned out of your gourd if you are ripping a pipe for 6 full seconds. Like, that's the, like, I would cough. I mean,
what you're saying is there's no chance in hell I could ever do that.
Oh, no chance.
I'd be arrested.
If you were able to even smoke marijuana for 6 straight seconds, yes, you would be on the floor.
If I could even comprehend how to even smoke, the few times I have tried, I'm like, did I do it right? just a little
whoop. But yeah, for instance, I mean, yeah, you know, it's like if I'm smoking a joint, you know, it's like not even 1 second of inhaling. Like if I'm smoking.
Sick? Oh, that is a long time.
I mean, I haven't smoked a bong in years, but like, you know.
Let's take a 6 second silence.
I mean, that's like as much as I can inhale.
Now I consider him abusive. If someone forced me to do that.
Well, it's a good way to get everybody just so stoned, like right in the morning, get everyone absolutely ripped. And then, of course, you're going to be godly and everything you say is going to be epic.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. This is where he turns to, I think, well, not just this, but, controlling, and I find that abusive. If someone forced me essentially to smoke when I don't want to smoke, you know, drug when you don't want to drug, drink yeah. when you don't want to drink. Like if someone forced me to do that, I find that very I guess I'm going to go with abusive. And then he starts to enter into...
Well, this is definitely where the teachings, I feel like, you know, are starting to pull away from any making any actual sense.
Yeah.
Like, you can't trust... No guru, no God on earth is going to be like, this. The right thing to do every day is to just get totally stoned.
Yeah. What's crazy, though, is like he had like these other practices, but they seemed like almost like a boot camp type thing where they had to bathe or like plunge in cold water, which what? Like that's like Iceman Hoff?
Is that Wim Hof.
Wim Hof.
The Iceman.
Yeah. Which I actually think is kind of healthy.
Yeah, cold plunge is healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But they also had to do like a certain amount of dips a day and then fingertip push-ups and just, it was all very weird. And I don't even know how do you do that stoned?
It's just getting more and more esoteric. But it comes, I think, from probably being stoned. He's like, these are great ideas. And some of them, like eating fresh fruit, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got to be healthy. Eating a vegetarian diet. Probably pretty healthy. Cool idea. Cold plunge. Cool idea. Being like a 6 second rip every morning.
Especially when some of your converts are 12 years old. And we're going to get into the creepy aspect of this.
It's going downhill fast.
So, Heaven. So, they all had to change their names when they... converted to his cult. They literally went to like this Social Security office and it was their last name was Aquarian. There was like Electric, Magnus. I mean, I don't even care to Heaven, Sunflower,
Orbit.
Isis. Yeah. Orbit. Oh yeah. Orbit was really upset about his name. He seemed like a sweet guy though.
Yeah.
But just fucking stupid shit names. Like
Electricity.
Yeah. I'm bored by it, frankly. But Heaven, she was only 12 years old when she started hanging out at the source. So basically,
where were her parents?
It's that time where parents weren't paying attention. I don't know, or I just had helicopter parents. I don't know. But she was 12 years old and she would sneak out. This is what she says in the documentary. She would sneak out after school to go work at the Source restaurant. First of all, she's sneaking out to go work, which is...
Child labor laws, like...
Well, but it's also like, I love that she's ambitious. I mean, I think she's a good kid, but...
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said about the kid that's willing to sneak out or skip school. Yeah, I had a great teacher who always said that, like, you know, the kid who's willing to walk out those doors when the authority's telling them not to will probably go farther than the straight-A student.
Yeah.
But... It's what you do after you skip school that's, you know,
but the fact joining that a cult. She was 12. And she's 12. 12 is so young to be, like, sneaking out and going to, like, work there.
But it was the times, because apparently none of the patrons thought it was weird. Like, 12-year-old, serving me.
Yeah. What?
Thank you.
I don't think parents were paying attention then. It was the time where it was just like, just go do your own thing. Just live your life.
Yeah, kids were basically glorified pets.
Exactly. It was like, we're going to smoke cigarettes in a car with you in the car. We're going to have like parties where you could maybe start drinking alcohol very young. It was just not... It's the 60s, 70s. It was wild.
Grooving time.
It was just come back when the street lights go off or whatever, that's time you come back.
Or, exactly.
Or just take care of yourself. We're working, you know, latchkey kids. Just handle yourself. You're an adult at this point. Not as bad as like the 1800s where kids went to work at like 7, but still. But where were her parents? I don't know. But Heaven, as she would be ordained or whatever by Father Yod, that's her new name.
Nicknamed.
Yeah. Ended up being the first person in the cult to have a baby. And it was with a man in his 20s. He defends it very well in the documentary. Not very well. I actually would say not very well. It's sort of creepy where he's like, well, it was just the times. Like, you know, underage. I'm in my... So she has a baby with Sunflower. She's 16 at this point. He's in his 20s, and This is the first baby to have been born within the Source family cult. And it only furthered Father Yod's just mystical, like, oh, is he a god? Because the baby almost died.
The baby was stillborn. Umbilical cord was wrapped around its neck 3 times. And this is, I mean, a bit prophetic. Like, you know, Father Yod took the newborn, unwrapped the umbilical cord, and I don't want to say perform CPR, but, you know, breathed life back into this child, apparently. And, you know, there's enough eyewitnesses that, you know, I believe that this is the true account. So it is a bit miraculous, but if you are one of the followers at this point, like, my Lord,
yeah,
you are, if you had any doubt, it was just erased.
Yeah. Yeah. Hundreds of them packed into the room for this birth. And they were all, I mean, yeah, it was like, whoa, he is what we think he is. Can you believe it? And that baby went on to be very healthy and totally fine. And then heaven also became one of his wives. So let's go into the wives thing.
Well, now after he's got everyone hook, line, and sinkered, I mean, now with this absolute power and control, of course, what's the first new amendment he's going to make to his commandments?
Obviously, it's he needs multiple wives. That's how it goes. I mean, even though his original commandment said that husband and wife or something, or man and woman should just be one.
Together forever.
Yeah. He'd been married to Robin for about 2 years at this point. This is 1972. And he decides that he is going to take up with Makusha.
Close enough. I'm not going to try to butcher that made up name.
Yeah, we might as well just say pinyon pine tree. I don't know. Like, what's... I'm just looking out the window being like, whoa.
Well, when we start our cult, someone will definitely be named Pinyon Pine.
Well, they should be, especially because I took 7 of them out. So, no, it was Juniper Trees. Sorry, Juniper is the name we're going to use.
That's a good name.
Yeah, Juniper's actually kind of cute. Anywho.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
But Father Yod wasn't always flowing white robes and the rejection of material values. He sometimes dressed in smart 3-piece suits, drove around in a Rolls Royce, and rented the Chandler Mansion for his followers, but that was not to last. You see, the neighbors were freaked out by the Manson family murders and having cult-like activity around them. They did not want to see 150 people packed into this, even though it was a huge house, but it weirded them out. They were afraid at a certain point, and, you know, the Chandler family did not renew the lease, and they needed to find another place to live.
Not to mention the music.
Oh, God.
And apparently, I read somewhere they, like, woke up at 3:30 a.m. to, like, start their morning meditation.
Yeah, and the music's pretty bad. We're going to get into that very soon, but yeah, drum circles at 3 a.m.
The only bad part of the music is Father Yod.
Oh, he's terrible.
It's like a pretty good band.
Well, there was actually talented band members that were in touring bands before.
Yeah, that left, you know, the bands for the source.
Yeah, and they had to put up with him being like a maniac. just going, whoa, and then banging on stuff.
So, you know, that rightfully so gets him kicked out of the house. I can't believe that they
I'm embarrassed of my scream, but it doesn't sound that dissimilar to
him. Yeah, no, that was actually pretty spot on. No surprise to get kicked out. I can't believe they were only renting. This whole time, I was like, of course, like, he bought this place for his family. He's the father you always wanted. gets you kicked out of your rental.
Well, I mean, it was a nice place. I mean, it's like being in the hippie Playboy mansion. I mean, I don't know.
If you're going to act like that, you got to buy the property.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Although his restaurant was making $10,000 a day, allegedly, exactly, during that time. Who knows? He's driving a Rolls Royce. None of it really makes sense. But what's most horrifying in this next part, at least for his followers, is they have to downgrade from a 9,000 square foot house with a big lawn, big pool, like where it's just like, oh, we can all just relax, to a 3-bedroom, I think 1 or 2 bath home in Nichols Canyon. So it was so small for that many people. So think 9,000 square feet, big yard, big lawn, you know, 24 rooms in the place, to a 3-bedroom, an erroneous amount of bathrooms space.
Hey, but they got an attic.
Yeah, they got an attic.
And a 2-car garage.
So there we go. But it was so small that they had to build cubbies. They built cubbies that they could sleep in. And sleep they did. And I mean with Father Yod. At this point, he had taken on 13 wives. Yep. Endless sex parties. He became the quintessential, albeit with style, cult leader. And it broke Robin's heart. She'd been married to him for 2 years. She felt like she had, you know, escaped the Manson massacre by not going to Sharon Tate's house that night. And this guy was her savior. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh no, there's another 19-year-old I'm interested. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. He morphed into the quintessential cult leader.
Classic cult leader move.
Yeah.
But the garage, that was reserved all for music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have put that, a lot of people could have probably lived in that 2-car garage, but no, they built that, they turned that into a music studio, apparently spent 30 grand.
No, 300.
300 grand.
$300,000. Where,
I mean, and it was in becoming 1973, that's like, I mean, you, that's everything you need.
I mean, hopefully I got that right, but I'm pretty sure I heard 300,000. And I remember being shocked when I first heard that, like, oh, there's, so it's a 3-bedroom house that if you have, let's say it's even dwindled to 75 followers living there, you know, working at your restaurant, it takes at least a dozen of them to run it a day. They are living in this house.
They only had to pay $1,000 in rent. Like, what was he thinking?
But how selfish to be like, you know what? Let's convert the garage. Let's get the band back in town. We're going to make it happen. Where there are women giving birth to babies that are dying. They're not dying, but almost dying. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's health, sanitary, everything issue.
Well,
but he's like, you know
roll,
what?
When sex, drugs, and rock and roll are part of your religion, you know, I mean, priorities. First things first, you got to get the studio rocking. You can't miss a beat. They were apparently releasing like a record a week. They have some exorbitant amount of
69 or 64.
It's in the 60s of full studio albums.
I hope it's 69 just because that would make me happy. But yeah, it's an insane amount. An insane amount.
All improvisational records.
Yes and no, because there were actual good musicians that were, you know, part of this
band.
Yeah,
but they were, like, just jamming. These weren't, like, rehearsed songs. Maybe, like, very briefly.
But they had to deal with him acting like a psycho.
Yeah, I mean, from a musical standpoint, there was something really creative and interesting going on. Like, all of the musicians in the band, and I use that word with great honor.
Mm-hmm. thought you were going to say freedom.
We're pretty good, you know, and we're in sync, in rhythm, making up some cool tunes, right? But then Father Yellow just comes bulldozing in without a key, corny lyrics, or just straight up howling, yelling, screaming.
Well, you heard my rendition. It was
I mean, it's a sight to behold.
And we're going to listen to a little bit right now.
There is nowhere you can go where you are away from me. End it, begin it, always as you see. But go with love.
Ready? Huh? Ready? Let's go. Let's go.
So the truth of the matter is that, like, you know, it's the 70s and in L.A. and there's lots of great musicians and artists, and a lot of them got caught up in this cult, and I think it gave them a lot of time to probably just have a creative hibernation. You know, everything's motivated by creativity and the soul and the spirit and all that, and like, it's unfortunate because I feel like some of these dudes listen to some of the music, like, probably could have been in a pretty like big band, but they were forced to let their dad join, and then it just got corny. You know, classic band move. If you let your dad join in any other scenario, too, the same thing would happen. So Father Yod should have realized. But then, like all good sex parties, it had to come to an end. Just like the first rental house. They're getting, you know, cops called on them. They're getting all paranoid. They're getting to the end of, like, the rocket ship rise of a cult. We're like, well, we've been doing nothing but sex, drugs, and rock and roll for 5 years now. And then, like all cults have eventually culminate into, they started to believe that the apocalypse was right around the corner. And so they did what all cults would do in that scenario. They up and leave for absolutely no reason and move to Hawaii. Because Father Yod, you know, said that was what God told him to do. Now, at this point, the cult's kind of, you know, ripping apart at the seams. Not everybody goes to Hawaii. People have started to leave. They're dwindling in numbers a little bit. Now, all of his 13 wives go, and I'm not exactly sure. I think about at least 100 make the journey, and they're not welcome into Hawaii.
Yeah, the locals were not super thrilled. It's kind of like Love Is One when they escaped to Hawaii, or Lori Vallow coming there. They're like, just let's get out of our territory.
Exactly. This is their, you know, sacred home.
Yeah.
They don't want a bunch of
hooligans.
Hooligans in white robes thinking that, you know, this is their salvation. Like, we've been here for 1,000 years. What are you doing? Go home.
Yeah, just take a nap, ma'am. Also, don't harm your kids. That's to Lori. Anywho.
Yeah, you know, and to Father Yod. You know, he's considering these all his family. You know, don't harm your children. And he, I think this is where, you know, how long can you keep the con up? It's been wearing on him. He knows he's not God. It's too obvious to him now. He's like, 13 wives? What was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how long can sex, drugs, and rock and roll be your religion? A 6-second toke in the morning? Who knows what the hell they're doing? But mm-hmm. I think he's growing weary. And in Hawaii, he admits to the family that he is not God, mm-hmm. that he is just a man. And for that, I kind of commend him. I'm glad he came
to. Yeah, it kind of makes me sad, like a little bit. It's like, God, he's depressed. He's
you know?
He shouldn't have married 13 women, but however, they don't seem to be that upset by it, except for Robin. Robin was heartbroken.
Yes.
Heartbroken, because she was committed to him, and she thought he was her savior after. Besides that, though, which I still feel, I feel so sad for her because she really committed to someone she didn't even intentionally originally want to commit to.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, like Isis, Aquarius, she's still okay with it. They're, everyone seems to be reasonably okay.
Not everybody. Some people feel like they're fooled a little bit, but I think most people are like, yeah, but I went on the wildest ride of my life. I heard a lot of people in the documentary state that if they had to do it again, they wouldn't do it, but they're so glad it happened, kind of feeling.
Okay.
Which, you know, I can support that. And, you know, overall, I feel like this is kind of like an interesting ending that's not like, okay, well, at least they didn't all drink the Kool-Aid. Like, they were all on a 5-year rock and roll summer camp drug trip, and it spiraled out of control, as ultimate power will with any human being you give it to, ultimately and absolutely. Father Yod went, of course, all the way into the deep end.
And then he couldn't control it anymore. Like, I think it got too big for him. But I also think that he, in my opinion, probably was suffering from his own depression from childhood, from being in World War II, like being abandoned
so
by a father,
things.
Like...
You abandoned know, by
then,
his father,
doing too
he
many
was
drugs,
quoted like, saying, like, at during this time, you know, in his sermons, he was like, part of him, you know, admitting that he wasn't God was like, even if I was, it would be, I have a father, and that would make him God, like, and I don't know him, like.
He was heartbroken.
Yeah, I think that, you know, ultimately he bandaged it all up with, you know, the biggest pot full of sex, drugs, and rock and roll he could, and then he realized he was still
How
empty.
Many times are you going to say sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Well, I mean, you know, that's just what it was.
I love you. I'm just joking.
Hey, man, it's a cool line. So Father Yod comes to terms with not being God, and I think feels pretty powerless. And, you know, didn't know how to end it. He drug them all here. What's he going to do? And I think that he not so covertly planned his own death. So for pretty much no reason at all, he decides that he's going to go hang gliding with no experience. And is even boasting about it in his morning sermon, but, you know, the morning that this happens. And some of the women are like howling in fear, I guess. It's pretty weird. And but yeah, nonetheless, he's going to go off a 1,300-foot cliffside in Oahu. And
they all watch it, which is horrifying.
They film it.
It's actually filmed in the documentary. I mean, it. Not him hitting the ground necessarily, but it's...
I'm sure that's filmed too. They don't show that.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Horrifying.
So, apparently there was, like, really good winds. And then in a kind of, perhaps divine intervention type of way, he runs to soar off the cliffside and all the wind just gets sucked out of his sail.
He like, also didn't know how to hang glide.
Well, regardless, it's like, you know... The natural world said, you know what? Screw you, Father Yod.
Or we know you want to perhaps die by taking your own life. I mean, I don't know. There's different theories on it, but maybe the universe was like, all right, we're going to make this.
Perhaps, I mean, you know what? Maybe he just did just kind of nosedive it on purpose. All of his followers said like the wind just stopped as soon as he jumped off. And he basically just fell to his death. Now, he lived to tell about it.
9 days, I think.
Yeah. He wasn't, dead on impact. But
he screamed, "Transmute my pain," to them, which they didn't really know what that meant. Transmute my pain.
Yes. Do not take me to a hospital. Transmute my pain. So, you know, he laid there and writhed in pain.
From an apparent
back injury, he was all saying, "Oh, it's my kundalini in my spine being released." Now, this is kind of interesting. He died after 9 days, but the autopsy showed that he actually didn't break any bones.
Did he have internal bleeding?
They didn't state that. I don't believe so. Like, there was no clear definition as to why he died.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of interesting, you know. Maybe he did kind of do it on purpose in his sleep. I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I've read so many articles about it. I've listened to the Colts podcast, great podcast by the Parcast Network. We've watched a documentary. Again, like Atlas Obscura articles, LA Times. Like, I don't totally have an opinion on it, except for I think that. I'd say 40% of me thinks that he wanted to take his own life at that point, and he wanted to go out in a grand fashion. But at the same time, though, it also blows my mind. Like, who would choose to suffer like that? That's hard to know.
I think he 100% wanted to take his own life, did not mean to survive the fall.
Then, but he's such a badass that he just did?
I wouldn't say that he's a badass, but he lucked out. I mean, I don't know.
This is a very sensitive topic, by the way. We should have given a trigger warning for, you know, people dying by suicide. And, you know, we apologize for not giving a trigger warning.
Well, whole thing's been a trigger warning.
Well, yeah. Yeah. There's also Heaven was 12 years old when she was, in the cold.
But what's interesting is, after he passed, there was apparently some, like, astrological phenomena, a star, you know, visible in Hawaii. And in the newspaper, you know, the main headline was, you know, cult leader dies, a religious leader dies in hang gliding accident. Then the second line was, like, rare star event last night. So kind of interesting. The cult obviously contributes it to that was him or something, but like,
I bet that's what he would have wanted.
Of course, that's what he would have wanted. Maybe he even knew. No, because he had to, like, he did the hang gliding 9 days later. I don't know. There's some interesting, potentially mystical, magical, miraculous happenings that, you know, Jim Baker's attributed to in his life.
Yeah, I think, listen, he's not a perfect man at all. I mean, he certainly did some scumbag things. From what I saw in the documentary, though, is his followers don't seem to be that upset with it. But I do not condone an old man hooking up with underage girls. And that, however, that's not great. I do think in the realm of cults, he's kind of one of the less violent cult leaders, and, you know, interesting. And, you know, it doesn't seem like anyone's super mad about it. And
I think that it's a happening that could have only occurred, you know, in Los Angeles in 1970s. I think that a lot of the energy and intentions put into this were good, and people meant well and truly believed that there was something divine happening to them. And then
I think they were all a little bit lost.
But feeling found at the time. The drugs, I'm sure, partying and sex helped. But like what would happen with any man, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Jim Baker was given too much power, went off the deep end. And I think it should be said.
No pun intended.
Oh, wow, that's actually hilarious. Yeah, the greatest display of power is control. He lost it.
Regardless, he was an interesting part of American history. It doesn't appear that he harmed anyone like super bad, although I don't condone a lot of what he did at certain points, but kind of seems like he was just a trippy part of American history. And that is the trippy story of Father Yod and the Source family, Jim Baker, and Isis Aquarian. She's a huge part of it. And thank you guys for listening. This has been an interesting, very interesting three-part series. Again, thank you for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And we really appreciate you. Love you. Bye.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.